turn to, in your Bibles, to Hosea chapter 6. And I want you to put your hand on your heart, if you will, and say this. Your version will be different from mine. That's okay. Your heart is the only version God needs. That's the original you. The heart is the original you. When I say I do to my wife, that's my heart speaking. Hosea chapter 6. Are we all there? And he says this. I'll read it to you first because your version may be different. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Amen. Let us, that's corporately, let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear and he will come to us. So when we do something, he responds and comes to us. And this morning the Lord says, come to me, all who are weary. There's a response needed in order now for God to then move. First comes the invitation. Second comes the acknowledgement. Thirdly comes the demonstration. Amen? Can you see that? So put your hand on your heart, if you will, and make this a prayer in your heart. Let us acknowledge the Lord. After three. One, two, three. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. Amen. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Lord, this is my prayer this morning. Is that how you feel this morning? Come to me, O God. Let the winter rains, let the spring rains come into my spirit this morning. That's what I want. Okay, please be seated. You know, when you've got a heart of gratitude, you're thanking God, Lord, I thank you for you've already been. You are here, but you're coming again. A fresh move is coming again to my heart. And appreciation says, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledgement is part of gratitude. What you don't acknowledge, you'll never give thanks for. I said, what you don't acknowledge, you'll never give thanks for. Now, anyone living in, as Phil has alluded to, anyone living in Manchester knows that we've had rains. We've had the threat of snow, hail, you name it, it's been there. But you know the land is being watered, ready for a fertilization, for a whole new season to spring forth. Amen? Have you seen it in the? Have you ever seen Australia or Africa when you see it's been dry, and then all of a sudden a rain comes, and now the desert blossoms overnight? With just a little bit of rain, the earth begins to respond. I have this sense this morning that it only takes a drop of rain for you to respond. It only takes a drop. It doesn't take a deluge. It just takes a drop of rain for you to respond. And say, oh God, I've been longing for that drink. Some of you are allowed to say amen at that point. Some of you feel dry. Say, Lord, I'm dry. You know, if I'm dry, I say, love, put the kettle on. Get me a Coke out the fridge. Get me a cold one. Nobody wants a warm drink unless it's tea or coffee. True? So, is your heart set on pilgrimage this morning? Are we struggling with that slide? Has it not come up? Oh, it's all coming. Our machine works in stages. Monday, next week, and the week after. Last week I read to you from Jude chapter 1. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault, and with great joy. I also said I'm 60 years of age, 25 years in the ministry, and over the years, I have stumbled. I have swayed. And I have disobeyed. Anybody? Our pastor's swayed, weighed, and disobeyed. Yes, I have. I don't say that with any great, you know, acclamation there. But I've even sinned. In my heart, I've sinned against God. But I've also fallen short of God's standards for my life. Does anybody identify with that, or am I the only sinner in the place? And I know I've quoted Psalm 69 that says, "You know my folly, O God. You know my sin within me." The times have appeared before the Lord and said, "Oh God, it's me again. Not again. How can you forgive me?" Anybody been there? But if it was not for the consciousness of God, if it was not for the consciousness of God reminding me of His love, my failings, but His love is greater than my failings, I would have remained swayed, fallen in sin. But God was able to keep me from falling. I stumbled, I swayed. But He's kept me in His presence all this time. The first thing that happens when you run away from God or feel you've sinned is you remove yourself from the presence of God. And the moment you remove yourself from the presence of God, your heart goes hard. And you lose the sensitivity of God's voice. We've all been there. True? Thank God, the consciousness of God led me to repentance. And it led me to adjusting. And it led me to being realigned back to the will and purposes of God for my life. So stood before you today as a man who has the attitude of gratitude for God's goodness over my life. The man you see before you is not always stood on a mountain. Not that you should think I'm always stood on the mountain. You might think, well, Pastor, he always stands on the mountain every Sunday. No, I stand behind the pulpit. Some pulpits, you can't even see the man behind it. At least we've got a transparent pulpit here. You can see if my knees are giving way. And the thing about these kind of perspex pulpits, they don't carry much weight. But if the man is transparent before the people, he don't need to hold on to a pulpit. He's already holding on to the Lord. Amen? Amen? So God's ability to remain faithful when you're not is something you and I need a revelation about and an understanding. God's ability to keep you when you can't even keep yourself. It's an amazing, amazing attribute. And some of our young people may not understand that at this point in time. But I tell you, we were all young once. Some of us are different. We're still young. We're just a different version of young. We're just an older version of young. Isn't that right? Some of you are really young. Some of us are really not young. We're OLDs. But I don't know about you, but in your life, you'll find peaks. You'll find troughs, you'll find hills and valleys. Anybody discovered those things? You also have discovered highs and lows, plateaus and summits. And despite these experiences, of which there's been many, God supplies, here we go, His rod and His staff. God supplies His rod and His staff. And I want to talk to you about this rod and staff. Because if you're going to climb hills and go through valleys and climb to summits and plateaus, you need the rod and the staff. And it's that rod and the staff showing you how strong and how reliable it is that breaks forth gratitude out of you. I would have not been here had it been for God's voice. Oh, yes, God's voice. I know the trouble is with the young generation today, everything is centered around Facebook. Twitter, Snapchat, WhatsApp, all the other stuff that goes in there. Because they're interested in the opinions of society. Some of us want, thank you, Ralph, some of us want the voice of God, not the opinions of men. But God wants you to set your heart on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage. Pilgrimage, the journey. Amen? Pilgrimage. Now, I know as you've gone through the, you know, the rod and the staff are there to keep you from falling, to keep you from stumbling. It's a rod and staff that help guide you through the storms, through the trials, through the difficulties that we encounter and we will encounter. When we hit highs and lows and valleys, these are moments that I call until moments. I said to Phil just before we came downstairs, I've been at a few pastors' meetings of late, thank you. That's grammatically over there. It's just kind of kicked in. And I keep hearing the same thread. Since COVID, the people have left church in their droves. And I say, the scaffolding has been removed. And we're seeing what all this time, all this pretense, what was going on behind church has been removed. And we're seeing what actually isn't of God. And now there is this fashion we call it hybrid church. And hybrid church is where everybody stays at home and thinks they can do church from home. There ain't no such thing as hybrid church. This call church gathering together. Yeah. Assembling together. Now, there was a time when we had to stay at home. And someone said, oh, the church closed down. And we said, the church didn't close down. The building closed. The people still met. The difference is, we're not building bound. We were told to stay at home. We did that. But when the government said we can come back, we met. Some never came back. Some were never part of the original fixture. I'll let the Catholic Church go quiet this morning. Some were never part of the original church. Some came to church for different reasons. They reached an until moment until things changed. And we all have until moments. I'm with you until. You can keep doing this until. We've all got until moments that can cause us to disconnect and go in a different direction. And life is full of until moments. Every valley, every peak, every summit, every circumstance has an until moment woven into it. That it's going to push me and try me and test me, and I'm going to keep doing something until I've had enough. I don't know what your until moment is. There used to be a song called Until the 12th of Never. But you've got to be on the OLD side to remember that. I'll love you till the 12th of Never means I'll love you continually. Do you remember that song? Some of you who were older than me. Until moments can be life defining. They can be faith threatening. And they can be destiny. Or they can sabotage destiny. Your destiny can be sabotaged by you. Through an until moment. If you've not heard a word before, sabotage. That's a vicious word. And most people sabotage their own futures by decisions they make. I'm faithful until. God, I'll love you until you stop doing things, stop giving me things, stop. And these sabotaging moments come through pressure and hardship. circumstances and events. And we all experience them at some point in our lives. And what's going to get you through is your maturity. Character. How well you know God. And how well or how dependent you'll become on God's rod and his staff. Amen. The rod and staff are two tools that God gives you to get you through and beyond. But if you will lean on your own understanding, you will find the until moment, the pressure of the until moment will always is designed to, there's a quitter inside of you. But there's also a victor inside of you. And it determines, this will determine what you lean to and what you look to. Yeah? I've personally witnessed this in the ministry time and time and time again. You know, if we could fill this building with those of past people who once came to this church, we would need multiple services. And I guess a lot of churches could say the same. Half of the time, it's the same group just moving around. Where are we all next week? We're all at your house, Jimmy, next week. Okay. So the crowd, the band just moves to the next church. And the pastor thinks, oh, I've got growth. No, you haven't. You've got trouble. People walking through the door is not growth. It's a sign of trouble sometimes. Or it's a sign that the people are troubled. Not everyone who walks through the door is trouble. But many people who walk through the door have been troubled. They've reached an until moment. True? And people sabotage their COVID short has revealed to us how many people sabotage their faith. And destiny never to return. And like I say, I've witnessed this time and time again. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at being stupid. In fact, I've probably got a diploma in stupidity over the years. I've graduated and probably got a master's in it. So I've kind of risen in some areas. And God says, Tony, how long will you be stupid for? He doesn't want to hear until the 12th and ever. When I become consciously aware of my stupidity, I can change. If I will lean on the rod and the staff, I can change my ways. Until then, I'll continue doing stupid things. And you know, of course, with every stupid thing we do, there's a consequence. And sometimes we can't always reverse engineer the consequences of our lives. And you know, if there's anything in my heart more than anything else for you as a people is to help you or prevent you from being stupid, sabotaging your own life. We labor to put God in. And through stupidity, we sabotage and get God out. True? Yeah. So I know as elders, our primary concern is to help you, to preserve you, and to keep you from falling. Yeah. To keep your heart set on pilgrimage. To convince you every day that pilgrimage is worth it. Pilgrimage is worth it. Oh, that's a word that I don't know. Why don't you just say journey? Okay, journey. If journey works for you, we'll call it journey. A pilgrimage journey. Just don't have a wayward journey. Don't have a delayed journey. Don't have a sabotage journey. Have the right kind of journey in life. And stupidity through, you know, emotional immaturity or through psychological, relational instability will always be the reasons why you and I sabotage what God has put inside us. Every day I see people put the pen to their own, you know, decline, their own expiry. And it's worrisome. If I had a pound, I'm married now, I haven't got any. If I had a pound for every time I heard a Christian say, when they're just about to be stupid, and this includes every one of us because we've all said it. If I had a pound for every time I heard a Christian say to me, God spoke to me, to justify what they're about to do, I would be a millionaire. Because it's the most obvious statement. Everyone says, God spoke to me. So now what it's saying is, shut up, I don't need any advice, don't need any wisdom, I don't need any counsel, because God spoke to me. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, okay, pilgrimage is the issue. And people saying that is going to potentially sabotage their own pilgrimage. So and then I started thinking about the Apostle Paul. Everybody heard of this fella? The Apostle Paul's probably got one of the most profound revelations out of all the apostles. He wrote letters to the churches. We feed off the words of Paul. We recognize him as being an apostle sent by Jesus Christ. So Paul had a revelation. Many revelations. Never did Paul ever turn around and say, I don't need to discuss it with you lot, God spoke to me. The first thing you find the Apostle Paul doing is going to the other disciples and laying before them his revelation. Yes. To see if what God was said to him was actually God. Yes. But only in the church do we have people saying, God spoke. Now the problem is this. The moment you say God spoke and he didn't, you've got no covering. And this is what happens. It's called the great cover up. It's not a covering, it's a cover up. Your stupidity determines what gets uncovered and what gets covered up. There lands the message of sabotage. But I don't know if you know anybody like that. I've been that guy. I've been that guy where no one can talk to me. When stupidity reigns. But thank God for the consciousness of God. Oh, thank God. You know when you hear that voice from God saying, you know the voice that spoke to me? The next voice, it says to me, you know you're a bit, you know you're a dipstick, don't you? The voice that spoke to me is now calling me a dipstick. Because God's Mancunian. God spoke to me at that pillar there. Watch it, son. God speaks at that pillar there. And the pastor... And I was arrogant and young and stupid. And the pastor's wife, she got me up. She was pint size. She got me. And she says, you are the most arrogant man. And you know, everything inside me wanted to punch her. Because I'm stupid. I'm naive and immature. But then the voice says, listen to her. This is a woman. The pastor's wife's got her hand round my throat. And do you know that day? Oh, sanity came into me. And you know, that was a defining moment. And I thank God. Sometimes some of us need God's hand round our throat. Other times we just need his tender voice. And I'm here to tell you I've had both. Now I'm not saying that was God who had his hand round my throat. That was a woman. But I know I was hearing God through her. Praise God, absolutely. So the word until... means, suggests a period of time when something will begin or something will end. Now, sabotage as a way of bringing our journey, our pilgrimage to an end. Or a period of time when something begins. Now, you and I proclaim, oh Lord, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. Until a trial hits me, until a circumstance, and I've been rocked, and now my Christianity has become sabotaged. But you were found saying, God, I love you, I'll follow you, until broke out. You love your wife and husband until they tick you off. Any husbands and wives ever witnessed their partner ticking them off? I love you, but I don't like you right now. And then other times it's like, love you, I'm not even sure I like you anymore. I'll love you. You always shopped in that store until somebody treated you or the cashier looked at you wrong or was a little bit curt with you. And now I'm not going back there again. How easily you moved. Just because a cashier looked at you or didn't deal with it in the way you thought you should have been. Yeah? Come on, you know there how easily we become offended. I used to always go and watch my team play football until disappointment came in. And now it revealed my wrong expectations of others. And if you watched a lot of football, you will be disappointed. We always had a great relationship with that couple until they either didn't do something or they did something, and now they're no longer that couple you spend time with. Oh, there's an until moment in every one of us. Yeah? I used to go to that church. Used to, yeah, until the pastor started bringing change. Or until the pastor left and a new one come in and I don't like that new pastor, so now I don't go to church at all. So now you're personality driven. Until moment is there. And God uses until moments to shake his people. To show what's not part of him and what is. Because God, when he brings us to Zion, he wants to make sure the right people arrive in Zion. Amen? So let me tell you who else who works on an until moment. Luke 4:13 says this. When the devil had finished all his temptation, he left him until an opportune time. When Satan had finished, when Satan had finished all his tempting, because Satan will come to test your stupidity, to test your lack of character, your lack of maturity, to test you at your foundations. Oh yeah, he'll come and he's allowed to come. That's fine. But he only worked in a season called opportune time. He waited until he's watching, he's waiting. And he's waiting for an until moment. On the road to pilgrimage, there are laybys called until. Until laybys. Until something happens. And the devil waits for an until moment. Okay, and I can see you're all depressed now, so let's reverse engineer this and let's get you out the valleys. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I've parked in that lay-by much longer than I should have. Two Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention. Here we go. As a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. In other words, you'll do well to pay attention to what prophetically God has spoken to us as a church, to you as a person, and to what he's already spoken in his word. You'll do well to pay attention to it. This, by paying attention, you avoid sabotage. You bypass the lane saying until. But if you pay attention, for how long do I need to pay attention? Until. Until what? Until the light of Christ shines in our hearts and we come to a new position. Yeah. Make no mistake about it. Only yesterday. Wonderful thing about yesterday, praying over those pastors. There is a pastor called Mario Higgins in South Africa. I've never met the guy. I know he must be good because he's nearly an Higginson. Now in South Africa, is that right? There's a road called Higginson Road. We're famous. It's a long name. This guy's called Mario Higgins, and I'm praying. And as I'm praying, he begins to prophesy over me. Never met the guy. And as he begins to prophesy over me, it was everything I've been praying to God about over these last 2 weeks. Why? What is God saying? Pilgrimage. The word is coming, the prophetic word comes to take us out of the valley, through the valley, up to the summit. That's where we're going. Pilgrimage is summit, is the summit. Why? That's where Zion is. Are you there? And God keeps bringing, and he'll say, now pay attention to it. What has God said to you, Tony? Why? Because that's where I pay attention to what God has been saying and what God has said and what God has said in his entire word. I can't ignore what God has already said in his word. I can't ignore what God has spoken to me. But I must pay attention to those things so that I ensure that I keep walking past the laybys called sabotage. I want to encourage you young people. The prophetic word spoken over our lives. Don't ever get familiar with it. Don't ever let the prophetic word lead you. The prophetic word should only confirm. Yes. Not lead. Because if Dave comes up to me and says something, he may be prophesying in his spirit, believing what God is saying is true. But what happens if it's contradicted to what God's been saying to me? If I listen to what he says, or vice versa, we could lead each other up the garden path. It must confirm what God is saying, or he may give me a word about an area that I've had no other words about. But then as I put it down and store it, God will come along and use other people to speak, so now confirmation comes. Amen. So as this word comes to me, it's like, oh, thank. It was like rain had fallen on me. Because now I know God has been hearing my prayers, and I've got confirmation that now God has been hearing my prayers, because two fundamental people I've still not met him. But the word was wrong. And the other one was Jonathan David, who I respect as my dad. So I know God's on my case. And it means if God brings me a word, it brings us a word. Yeah, it affects us. Why? Because I want to share it with the family. Yeah. So, the prophetic word is a light shining into our future. Yeah. Helping us to stay away from potential sabotage. Yeah? And this rod and this staff, I'll talk to you in a minute about this, but let me just say this. This is how important the word of God is to us, the voice of God. The other day, somebody gives me something. I don't need to know what it is, but they gave me something. And I'm praying, I'm on my prayer walk. And as I'm praying, I'm saying, God, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. I would need to hear your voice. And I'm walking round, the wind's blowing. And at the end of my walk, I said, Lord, you didn't speak to me. But I prayed a lot. And I'm in the car. And this person who would give me something had given me the previous day. And as I'm driving along the road, I hear the voice of my mind is instantly brought to the gift I'd received. Now, this is God speaking to me, not you. God says, throw away the gift. What? Throw away the gift. You asked me to speak to you. I have. It's the end of the matter. It's the end of the matter. We don't need to talk about it. You don't need the gift. Get rid of it. Okay? Gone. When you ask me to speak, I'm going to respond. But I won't always respond in the way you think. You asked me to speak. There wasn't a time delay on it. You didn't say by the end of the prayer, you said ask me to speak, and I did speak, but I spoke to you in a way that you didn't expect me to speak. I'm just letting you know that I watched what was happening, and I'm letting you know your response to me right now is all I'm interested in. Oh. So I got an education. When God speaks, this is the end of the matter. How many of you know that? I sat round a table the other day talking to a group of pastors. Well, we were talking together. I wasn't talking to them. And all I heard was three pastors give me a testimony of their until experience. And three of them had actually encountered burnout. They'd gone through intense times during COVID and were burnt out. One of them actually handed the church over. It's taken them nearly 15 months to recover. But, the testimony wasn't of burnout. The testimony was how they came through it. And the rod and the staff is what brought them through. The rod and staff is what gets you through your trials, your difficulties, your events, your kickbacks. Not backs, I should say. Now, maybe you felt like this fella. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Maybe you feel like the chicken just about to walk through KFC. Maybe that's you. Anybody felt like that? I'm not saying you're chicken. I said you feel like a chicken. And that chicken's brave. He's thinking, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Colonel Saunders will not get me. I will not be battered. I will not be covered. I will not be broken. I'll be not butchered and put into a bucket and sold with gravy. I'll keep my head up high and I'll keep walking. And nothing will get me because God's rod and his staff will get me. I'll go to McDonald's. They don't eat chicken there. Chicken burgers, yeah. And maybe if you're going to develop an attitude of gratitude, then you must come to that point of appreciating God's rod and his staff in your life. You must learn to value and appreciate God's rod and his staff in your lives. So go to Psalm 23, verse 4. You've read this scripture many times. Though even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do? They comfort me. The rod and the staff. I go through a valley. It's only a shadow, but it feels like the real thing. But in the great order of things, perspective of God's perspective, it's only a shadow. It's not the real thing, but it sure feels like it. It's almost like you've got those virtual glasses on. You've seen those? I don't know what they call them. You put the things on and you're playing the games. What do they call them? Virtual reality. There you go. And en route to climbing to the summit, you have to go through the valleys. Now, you know, the Christian walk is not like that. You know that, don't you? But it is one that has got an incline. And each time it's got peaks, it's got troughs, there's valleys, and then we come out the valley, we might come on the level road so we can get our breath back, and then we start to ascend again. And before you know it, you're going higher and higher and higher. But if it was all just uphill, we'd all get brassed off, we'd all get tired, we'd all get weary. But even in this way, even in this diversity of terrain, we still get weary, do we not? Hence why the word this morning, come to me, all you are weary. And en route to climbing that destiny, you have to walk through the valley that threatens death, threatens sabotage, threatens all kinds of things in your life. You've got to go through it. I said, you've got to go through it. Look at the person and say, you better get ready because you've got to go through it. If you don't come through it, you'll get caught. You'll get swallowed up by it. If you don't come through it, you will get swallowed up by it. And Jude tells us, the first thing we see is you are with me. The first thing we see, they comfort me. That means you're with me. You're with me. The first thing we want to see from this rod and the staff is they comfort you. They come to bring comfort to you in your extreme times. Just like that chicken. If I'm the voice of God to that chicken, I'd say, keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep focused. Don't look to the left or to the right. Just walk right past. If you look to the right, that's not a shadow. That's the real thing. They will get you. Don't be found spitting feathers. But keep walking, because that chicken right now has got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But the word comes. Keep coming, chicken. Keep coming. Keep coming. Why? The word comes to comfort us. Yesterday that word came to inspire me, to comfort me. To comfort me. To give me hope, to keep on going. I've heard your prayer, son. Headquarters is letting you know. Snow Goose to Base Camp. Is there any signal down there? Yes, Lord, I've heard you. Thank you. And God's saying, keep coming, son. Keep coming. Headquarters is sending a word to you. Open it. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. So I skip like a calf, because I need the word. I said, I need the word. Amen. It's amazing. Just a bit of drop of rain. Oh. Now, how can I live in Manchester and ask for rain? And yet, there I was, thanking God. You're with me. Jude tells me, the book of Jude tells me, to him who was able to keep me. To keep me from falling and to present me before his glorious presence without fault. How can I have no fault but I've been stupid? Because God forgives. With great joy. I didn't want to get to the end and go, I'm finished. Could you not have made it easier? God doesn't want you getting to the finishing line grumpy. God wants you to get to the finishing line. Well, not even to the finishing line. He wants you to get there with joy. Amen? The rod is a symbol of authority. It's a tool used to bring in correction. Given a rebuke that is needed in order to keep you on the path of righteousness. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16 says the word of God. He says, teach, correct, rebuke, and train. But it's a wise man who accepts a rebuke. A fool scorns a rebuke. A wise man accepts a rebuke. And sometimes we need rebuking. Because in our until moment, we can get filled with self-pity. I don't know about you, woe is me. It's like sometimes God's got to come up and say, I don't like that spirit of self-pity on you. It doesn't suit you at all. But Lord, you know, sure, cry, get it out. But we still ain't gonna accept self-pity. And many of us have had self-pity. Why me, Lord? Why did you pick me, Lord? I know, it's amazing, isn't it? You're right, the three of us thought, why did we pick him? Why not me? I chose the things that are not to confound the people. Can I not take a vessel and use him the way I want? Can I not take them through the valleys? Can I not take him through death? Can I not take him through? Why? So that the glory of Christ can be seen in us. Or do you just want to come to church on a Sunday? If that's your deal, go for it. But some of us are going to take on his likeness, his character, and his nature. Some of us are going to be like him at the end. My rod, it's a symbol. We need God's word. We need his rebuke. Son, once I speak, it's the end of the matter. Don't come back to me like a child and saying, why? God says, are you mature? Yeah. Are you my son? Yes. Are you classed as a mature? Do you class yourself as a mature son? Yeah. Shut up then. When I speak to you, it's over. In some areas. Because God wants maturity out of me. Look, I'm 60 years of age. I can't be behaving like a child. If I don't grow up at 60, when am I ever going to grow up? When I was a child, I thought and I reasoned and I act like a child. But then, I transitioned. And I became a man. So what do you think the behavior should be of a man? Not the same as a child. Some of us still are acting like children. And God says, man up. Grow up. Can I rebuke some? Well, that's not God. God only speaks love. God does rebuke. It's his love. Now, let me give you this. You might write this down in your Bible or put it on your fridge magnet. correction equals protection. Correction equals protection. If I can't correct you, I can't protect you. Now that's one you tell the kids. And the kids don't like that one. But it's true. Correction equals protection. So when you get corrected, God's saying it because he's trying to protect us. Amen? If God can correct you, he can protect you. And in order to protect you, he has to correct you. Amen. The staff enables you to rest. Lean on. It's something you get to lean on. Something that can be used to rescue you and pull you out of a scrape. You know when that sheep goes stray, he can use that to wrap it in its horns or whatever it is and pull the damn thing out. Yeah. Have you ever seen a dog in a lake? Or a drowning dog. Have you ever seen a drowning dog? Someone throw a stick to it. Dog gets hold of it like that, pull the damn thing out, saves the fella getting his feet wet. Or the kid that's fallen in the water, you throw a stick out. Get hold of that, grab on it, and you pull it to safety. You can lean on it, it's dependable. Thank God for his word. The staff guides you through scrapes, through the fields. Thirdly, you need to know the character of the one offering you the rod and the staff. There is a character, there's a person offering you his rod and staff. You know, when you're young, you lean on your own understanding. You're smart, you go to university, you come out with this head full of knowledge. And you think, you know what? I'm not listening to anybody ever again. Just gone through university, I've just crammed my head full of knowledge. And you think, I ain't listening to anybody for the next 10 years. Because you don't want to read, you don't have to listen, you don't have to learn. You think, I did it. I got my master's or I got my degree. Oh, the next 10 years is playing. But if you stop learning and listening, you can't be guided. And you're going to end up going in the wrong direction. Because even though you're qualified, God still needs to lead you. Do you know I was a qualified printer? How? I don't know, but I was. But God still had to lead me out of that place to here. Imagine if I stopped listening to God. I'd still be working, printing Coca-Cola labels, HP baked beans, all the stuff that you go to buy, I was printing. Because my company only ever printed supermarket stuff. High-end quality. Well, that was our excuse anyway. The rod and the staff are given to you to make your pilgrimage, to complete your pilgrimage, to complete your pilgrimage. The rod and staff. Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts, minds, on pilgrimage. Or a highway. Your translation might say highway. As they pass through the valley of Baca, here we go, and make it a place of springs, the autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Watch this. So when the rod and staff is given to you, you go from strength to strength. Until each appears before God in Zion. God wants you to appear on the summit of Zion. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling. How does he keep you from falling? He keeps you from falling by supplying his rod and staff. Can you see this? Now, like I said, many of you want to hear God speak. That was me. That's been me many times. Lord, speak to me. The top guy. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I'm here. But we don't want the bottom part. We don't want the Bible. We just want God to speak so I get a thought in my head so I don't have to listen. I don't have to study. I don't have to pray. I don't have to seek the heart of God. I just want to be able to hear a thought in my mind that agrees with my heart. Anybody out there? When God speaks, he speaks through the... That prophecy I received yesterday, I can show you the chapter and verse that God spoke to me, but that word didn't use that verse. But I can show you the bottom part, because the bottom part is what came first to me. God spoke to me from the word. And yet, when people prophesy over me, they don't always prophesy a scripture to me, but it's come from scripture. How do I know it's come from scripture? Because I read the scripture that spoke to me. The seed came into my heart from scripture. I didn't get an idea in my head. It has to come from the word. Do you understand this? God speaks to us in many, many different ways. You can go into a shop and as you walk in, you can hear the voice of God. We know that. But God is a God of principle. God speaks to us from his word. God speaks from what he said. And from what he said, he then speaks to you. And then you find out that what was spoken to you is what's already been said. Amen. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So I'm glad that the Lord spoke to me. And thank God when he spoke to me today, I went, the rod and the staff. They work for me. I can lean on that word. The only thing I don't know is when. I don't know how, but I have the promise in my heart that God has spoke, God has confirmed. And the Bible says in the mouth of two and three witnesses, yesterday I had the second witness. So when the second witness comes to you and speaks, guess what? Game's on. The same God who says to me, when I speak, it's the end of the matter. Right? It's the same God that spoke yesterday, so it must be the end of the matter. So now I say, I will move my prayer from, Lord, are you hearing me up there? To now, Lord, open my eyes to let me see when this is the moment. Let me see those who you're going to use to bring it to fulfillment. So now I'm praying at a different level now, a different way, because now I've been confirmed. HQ has sent the message, get ready for advance. Oh, I'm happy. I don't know if you're not. Your faces don't match my happiness. I wonder right now if you're... Let's read that scripture again. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Now watch this in verse 6. And I believe this is what God is saying and what has already been said this morning. Those who pass through the valley of Baca. Some of you haven't passed through it. Some of you have been caught by it. You've been ensnared by Baca. I don't mean tobacco. Baca. As you pass through, you're meant to pass through Baca, but many of us get caught up in Baca. And that's where we get finished. That's where we sabotage our Christian walk in destiny. In the valley of Baca. Because indecision comes in the valley of Baca. You know in the Bible there's a valley called indecision? And Baca is a place. And listen to what it says. And they make it a place of springs. So it's dry, but they make it a place of springs. They have the ability to turn the situation around and make it a place that isn't. Yeah? The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Now, the valley of Baca symbolizes sorrow and pain and difficulty and hardships. Tears. The name itself indicates a dry valley, a dry place, a dry region. Now, here's the thing. It's a dry place people encounter en route to pilgrimage. So those who set their hearts on pilgrimage would go to Jerusalem for certain feasts at certain times of the year. But these are people whose hearts are set on finishing the course. So they know that the end game was the focus. When you come to church and you don't see anything else, you have no other goal to aim for than coming to church, you'll always get swallowed up. Because church can never meet your expectations. God has to be the one who speaks and fulfills everything inside of you. Some days, we don't preach what you want to hear. Some days. Some days, Paul doesn't sing the songs you like. Some days, they don't keep the rhythm that you like. Some days, the music might be la, 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 la. Some days, they don't give us tea and coffee. Don't live for some days. Live for days beyond. So these people would set their hearts on pilgrimage. And they would say, I know I'm going through. So if I call Dave and he's in the middle of the valley and he's dry, Dave doesn't get caught. Dave's looking to Zion. Lord, bring me. Call me into Zion. Keep calling me to Zion. Send your word, Lord. Get me out of this place. Whatever lesson you're teaching me, Lord, teach me so I can learn it, so I can get out of this place. So I can remember that place where you met me, where you spoke to me, where your word came to me in that dry place. Lord, I don't want to come back to that place again. But why? Keep my heart set on pilgrimage. Because if you've got no goal beyond church, no goal just beyond your family, loving your family, nothing wrong with loving your family. But your goals have got to be beyond that. My children often say to me, Dad, you're always out, you're always doing things. And how many times have we said to our kids, you know that life you told me to get? I got it. I got that life, son. And guess what? I'm not sat at home watching daytime TV or boring TV. I'm going out and enjoying my life. I'm doing things. Well, how can you do that? How can you afford it? Because I haven't got you. That's why. Because my life has to show you that God's blessing us. And I've got to be the example to your son, even in my old age. Dad's life still has to be an example. How can he influence his children if his life is not an example? Why? Because I'm still going to Zion. And I want my children to see me, and I want you to see me going from strength to strength. I don't want you ever to think that this plateau's plateaued. No. We are going from strength to strength. Some people stay the same forever and ever, amen. They never change. But please don't ever come and find me in that place. I want to go from strength to strength. I want to stay risky. I want to stay dangerous. I want to stay fertile. I want to stay current. The issue is that's exactly why what we want. That should be the echo in your heart. But you think, well, if he gets too dangerous, he'll lead us. And we'll get things that we don't really want to, where places we don't really want to go. And he'll get us doing things we don't really want to do. And saying things we don't really want to say. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Join in for that. Where do you want to sign up? Guess what? If you don't, God will bring others. We can't be limited by what those who don't want to go. We can be joyous with those who want to go. And many of you want to go. So, my heart is set on pilgrimage because I want to worship the Lord. And I can worship in a dry place. I can worship the Lord in a weary place, in a barren place. Why? Because what's in me is enough to get me out of this. I trust the God that's in me because his rod and his staff go with me wherever I go. His word doesn't get shut off because I'm in a dry and weary place. It's up to me to dig into this thing, to dig down to get the water that's here. Yes. Yeah. You've got to learn to dig in the dry seasons of your life. You know, I spend a lot of time researching and writing. A lot of time. Somebody says to me the other day, the pastor was saying to me, well, how do you carry the weight of the ministry? I said, quite easy. I'm not Superman, but one of the things what I find helps me de-stress is write. I don't write about my feelings. That's no point in that, is there? That's not a diary I keep. I write about the things that excite me. And even when I'm brassed off, I can still write about things that excite me. Why? Because there's a well. And what I find is when I go to the nations and I have to speak for 12 hours, all those times I was up there writing, I can now use them. The factory was still producing word, even in a dry season. You know, most pastors can only speak less than half an hour. Half an hour, that's an introduction. But you've got to find a congregation who will let you go for 12 hours. Most pastors can't go for 12 minutes. But when I write and I write and I write and I create materials, I create materials for the day that's to come. Why? Because I'm going to Zion. So, maybe you're in Baca right now. So stand to your feet if you will, please. Maybe you're in Baca right now. You're dry. You're weary. You feel barren in your heart, spiritually. You're weary. You've reached that until moment. You felt like you've reached an until moment. And you need the voice of God to speak to you afresh. God today wants to touch your heart. Bring your weariness. Bring your excuses. Bring your dryness. And I want you to leave it at the cross. And God's offering you his rod and his staff today. God's offering you his rod and his staff. Look, there it is. He's offering you his word. God wants to speak. If that's you this morning, Lord, speak to me. The Lord's going to give you his rod and his staff. You're going to get up and leave this place today with the rod and the staff in your hand. And you're going to have to use it, and you're going to have to take it with you out of this valley, and you're going to have to keep on using it until you reach him in Zion. Because worship is in your heart. But worship is not singing. Worship is not just singing songs. That's a very small percentage. Worshiping God is you become a living sacrifice. You do what he says. You respond to the way he wants you to respond. You recite his word. You know his word. This is worship. So when you sing, your singing becomes a reflection of what you're living. But most of our singing does not reflect what we live and the way we live and the attitudes that we approach God with. We tend to worship if we like the song. And we like the rhythm of the song rather than we worship God because we love him. If those words come up or those words don't come up, it's amazing how many of you stop worshiping. If the rhythm goes all wrong, everyone stops. But we ask you to just worship out of your hearts. Many Christians don't know how to do that. They feel uncomfortable. Because worship, for many Christians, is only something they do when the music is playing for them. And there's harmony. But true worship is nothing to do with what we do in here. That's only a percentage. You've got to do what we do in here, you should be doing in your own home. There's no band. Paul doesn't turn up in your... He's not a hologram of Paul. Let it flow. Paul doesn't put a hologram of himself when he's worshipping. No. Why? Because when you're worshipping at home, it doesn't matter who's there. Who cares what noise you make? God's interested in what you say to him, not what you sing to him. Make a joyful noise. That doesn't mean to say necessarily relate to singing. Are you whinging or are you praising him? Joyful noise. So if you're going through a valley this morning, I want to encourage you to step out. I'm going to pray for you this morning, or we're going to pray for you this morning. And God's going to refresh and touch the parts of you. And he's going to give you his rod and his staff. And if you get a word, you get a word. But listen, you've just got the word. You've just had the word. People say, oh, I need to hear a word from God. He's give you a word. He's got a book full of them. God can't lead you if God can't trust you with his word. I said God can't lead you if you're not found with his word. God speaks from his word. That's why that cartoon there shows everything. He gives you his word. And out of that word, he will speak. Most people don't want the Bible. They just want a prophecy. Well, no. The rod, I want you to be very clear this morning what God's imparting into us. The rod and the staff. We started reading, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear and he will come to us. Like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. When we acknowledge God, God comes to us. When we acknowledge God, God comes to us. Let me say that again. When we acknowledge God, God comes to us. And he comes. Surely he comes as the sun rises, he will appear. Amen. Suddenly, the God that you seek will suddenly appear and speak to you. And he will come like the winter rains. In other words, he can come strong. He like the spring rains that give you a refreshing. God controls the water flow. Sometimes it's a downpour. Other times it's a refreshing. According to our response, God will come. Yes. Amen? Amen? Praise God? Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord our praise.